The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Donald Novis, Bill Thompson, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with "The Best Things in Life Are Free." Yesterday, I received a letter from a housewife who asked me this question: what does Johnson's Wax really do for my floors? Well, that's certainly a fair question, and I guess it's up to me to answer it. Look for a moment at the floor in your own room. It's probably a hardwood floor that was very expensive to lay. To make that floor last a long time, it needs protection. To make it attractive, it needs beautification. Varnish and shellac gives some protection, but these finishes themselves wear out and chip under the constant attack of scraping, scuffing feet. But wax protects both the floor and the finish with an invisible tough coat that you can renew from time to time. When you spread Johnson's Wax over your floor, the wax goes down into the pores and seals out dirt. It guards against scratches. It keeps dust from collecting. It makes cleaning easy and scrubbing a thing of the past. Now, if that were all that wax does, it would still be desirable. But in addition to protection, wax adds a mellow, glistening beauty to your floors and to your entire home. With every application of wax, floors become more beautiful. Now, of course, when I say wax, I mean a high-quality, reliable wax, perfectly blended, which is another way of saying Johnson's Wax, the wax that has given satisfaction in millions of homes for over 50 years. Remember, when you walk on wax, you save your floors. Well, folks, radio is stranger than fiction. Just as Molly was insisting that Fibber get a job, the long arm of coincidence reached out and tweaked our hero's nose. The gossip columnist of the Wistful Vista Gazette wanted somebody to take over his work while he went on a vacation. And here at the newspaper office, his third day in the job, we find that would-be printer's devil and his angel, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Oh, I like this newspaper work, Molly. Last I got me a job I can put my Hearst into.
Say, how did you ever happen to get this job, McGee? I didn't know you were a friend of the columnist here.
Oh, sure. Me and him was old buddies. You see these two fingers, Molly?
Yes.
Me and him was just like that. That short one's me. Well, I mind the time I was a reporter on the old Bloomington Pantograph. I didn't mind being a cub, but when they wanted me to hibernate one winter, I quit.
Oh, there, young man. First opportunity I've had to drop in on you. How are you getting along?
Oh, just fine, Chief. I've seen you around here checking up on things and wondered if you weren't going to come in sometime.
Well, I like to have the new people settle down before I disturb them.
Well, that's mighty nice of you, Chief. Meet the little woman. She's my best critic and severest friend. Don't you get it, Molly?
Ain't funny, McGee.
You gotta give me credit for remembering it.
Tell me, McGee, what writing experience have you had?
Oh, quite a bit, Chief. A lot of poetry and two or three mysteries. A
couple of letters.
I'm writing a novel now, Chief.
A novel? Is that so?
It's about the Dust Bowl farmers. It's got a good title for it, too, I have. The Grapes of Wrath.
Well, that's been used.
It has? Doggone it, I talk too much.
Say, have you seen any of my husband's newspaper columns, Chief?
Oh, yes, indeed. I've been following his work with a great deal of interest.
Well, thanks, Chief. Nice of you to say so. like to have you tell me something about candid camera work sometime. I see that's your hobby.
Candid camera? What makes you think so?
Well, I imagine McGee noticed the little camera you have hanging on your belt there, sir.
Oh, that isn't a camera.
Huh?
That's a clock. I'm the night watchman. See you again sometime.
Night watchman. Just one big happy family.
Say, let me know when you have your next literary conference, McGee, and I'll bring the elevator operator and the window washer.
Well, he fooled you, too. Now, let's see. Where can I dig up some good gossip items, Molly?
Say, speaking of gossip theory, there's only one thing that worries me about this job.
What's that, Mrs. McGee?
Oh, you say such personal things about people. Don't they ever threaten you or anything?
Sure, but that don't mean nothing. There's always some guy with a grudge that's threatening to shoot you or horsewhip you or something. Empty threats. Don't mean a thing.
Mr. McGee.
Yes, Miss Print.
Gentleman to see you.
What's he want, Miss Print?
He says it's a personal matter, Mr. McGee. He's got a horsewhip with him.
Oh.
Horsewhip, eh? Well, tell him we don't want it. What? A horsewhip? You mean he's...
Don't mean a thing, McGee. Just an empty threat.
Oh.
What'll I tell him, Mr. McGee?
Tell him I ain't in. Tell him I've gone home. Tell him anything. Wait a minute. Tell him I'm making the rounds of the nightclubs and probably won't show up for days.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Molly. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
No, wait. I better send this copy down to the composing room first. Copy boy. Copy boy.
Yes, sir?
Take this copy down to the composing room. And boy.
Yes, sir?
Get me a press card to stick in the windshield of my automobile.
Yes, sir.
McGee, you haven't got an automobile.
Oh, that's right. A boy.
Yes, sir?
Get me an automobile to stick the press card into the windshield of.
Yes, sir.
Dad, Reddit, I wonder what that guy out there wants to horsewhip me for. Maybe I better print a retraction.
How can you make a retraction when you don't even know what item he's angry about?
Well, I'll make a blanket retraction. That ought to cover me. Come on, let's duck out the back door.
Well, what if he hears it?
Shucks, I never thought of that. How can we distract his attention? Oh, I know. Hey, Billy. Billy Mills. Play an apple for the teacher and play it loud.
Yes, sir.
Night spot in town.
Oh, how exciting.
Uh-huh.
Gil Hooley's Grand Terrace Cafe and Pool Room.
Yeah. I wonder if it's crowded. Hey, doorman, is there a big crowd inside?
Oh, not so many. It's pretty quiet. Oh, hello there, daughter. Hello, Johnny. Hey, they tell me you're writing a gossip column now.
Yeah.
I got an exclusive story for you. It's a snoop.
You mean a scoop?
Hey!
Scoop. You know what a scoop is, old-timer. A scoop is when you get there first to give some second-rater the third degree for the fourth estate.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says t'other feller, says, See where this Tony Galletto performed a little dentistry the other night. That so, says t'other feller. How do you mean? Well, says the first feller, he certainly gave Novocaine. Say, I make a great story for you, Johnny. You might caption it, Local Anesthetic Makes Good. Well, go right in, kid. The head waiter will give you a good table.
Okay. All right, here's a good table right here, Molly. Hey, waiter, give me the steak dinner. You just want a salad, don't you, Molly?
Yes. A mixed green salad with just a tiny bit of garlic, waiter.
Lady, there ain't no such thing as a tiny bit of garlic. Garlic is a garlic. And confidentially...
But that's not...
Listen, Bud, I'm the gossip columnist on the Gazette. I wish you'd point out any celebrities that are here tonight.
You know, debutantes or actors or gangsters or...
Sure. Did you see that girl at the third table? That's Brenda Axel Biddle, the debutante. She just come out.
She ought to go back in and put something on. Who else, waiter?
Well, let me see. Oh, yes. You see that homely little mug across the room there?
Yeah.
That's Fibber McGee.
It is not. I'm Fibber McGee.
Yeah?
Sure.
Well, say, that other guy ain't so bad looking after all.
The idea. We didn't come to a nightclub to be insulted by the waiters.
Then I guess you ain't had much experience with nightclubs, lady. How'd you want your steak, Doc?
Oh, medium tough.
Okay. Let me know how'd you like the French fried potatoes. We're trying new recipe. We're frying them in rubber cements.
Waiter, take me to Mr. McGee's table. I think... Oh, never mind. I see him. Hello, Fibber.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Harlow.
Say, Fibber, did you have an item in the Gazette about a certain wealthy man about town and a blonde hat-check girl?
Yes, I did, Harlow. Neat little item, too. I said, quote... What man about town who is no author is making a play for what little blonde hat-check girl who is no actress? Unquote. Kind of a nifty, eh?
Yes, except that same guy is standing outside this nightclub waiting for you with a horsewhip.
Oh, heavenly days, McGee. He's followed us over here.
Dad dreaded luck. So that was the story he was sore about. Listen, Harlow, don't tell him we're in here. Tell him we've gone.
Okay, pal, whatever you say. Say, incidentally, I've got a little gossip item for your column.
Oh, I ran... good. What is it, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, look, don't quote me on this.
No.
But did you know that a certain prominent businessman and his wife are separating?
No. Why?
Well, the way I heard it, this fella got so fed up with house cleaning every spring and every fall that he just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh.
But his wife played it the smart way, you see.
What you mean, Cuddles?
Well... Well, she told him that everything was going to be different this year. She said that she just learned how to simplify her housework. For instance, she's using Johnson's self-polishing glow coat so she can polish her linoleum floors in a jiffy without any rubbing or buffing. And she's going to use Johnson's paste and liquid wax on the wood floors and furniture and make dusting and cleaning easier the whole year. See?
Oh, well, heavenly days, Mr. Wilcox. Wasn't that enough to reconcile them?
What do you mean, reconcile?
Well, you said they were separating.
Oh, but that was just while house cleaning was going on.
Oh.
But now that she's found out about Johnson's glow coat and Johnson's wax, why, you can't keep him out of the house.
Oh.
Isn't that a nice little human interest story?
Oh, simply delightful, Mr. Wilcox.
I'm afraid that's too big a story for us. That's got national interest. My column is just local.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess I gotta be going. Keep an eye out for that guy with the horsewhip, Fibber.
Say, does he look pretty mean, Mr. Wilcox?
Mean? He's as sore as a pelican with sinus trouble.
Oh.
See you later, folks.
Hey, maybe we'd better get out of here, Molly. I don't want any trouble with that guy.
No, sir. We're not going to run away from him.
Huh?
We'll fight.
We will?
Certainly we will. Besides, you shouldn't worry, dearie. Didn't they tell you at the office that the newspaper was behind you and everything?
Yeah, but if I'm going to get horsewhipped, I want something thicker than a newspaper behind me. Come on, Molly, let's go. Let's get out of here before something...
Oh, there you are, Mrs.
McGee. So nice to see you, really.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uffington?
And Mr. McGee, too. Oh, and Mr. McGee's brother.
Hi, Abby. What do you mean, my brother?
Oh, my, wasn't that silly of me? For a moment, I thought there were two of you. Must be the lighting effect in here.
I think things are well enough lit in here, Mrs. Uppy. Don't you, McGee?
Yeah. Ain't you kind of swinging it a little bit, Uppy?
Swinging it? Oh, yes, yes, yes. In fact, I'm afraid I'm becoming quite a jitter insect. Oh, you know, I've been learning a new dance step. The boop-sa-daisy. You swing around like this. I'm sorry. Certainly was clumsy of me, wasn't it?
Oh, my. What on earth have you been drinking, Mrs. Uppington?
Please, Mrs. McGee. I never touch intoxicating beverages, but my waiter suggested a delicious soft drink, some kind of punch. Planter's punch, I believe.
Oh, very refreshing.
Yeah, very well named, too. One more punch and they'll plant her. I'm sorry we can't stay and join the festivities, Uppy, but we gotta be together.
Oh, my, Mr. McGee. Oh, I'm so sorry you can't join the festivities. I'm really sorry. You know, I can't remember when I've had so much fun. Oh, but my goodness, Mr. McGee, you seem terribly upset about something. Is there anything wrong?
Well, nothing that a fast trip to Mexico wouldn't cure, Mrs. Uppington. He's having trouble with his neck.
Really? His neck?
Yes, I stuck it out too far, Uppy.
My, how very amusing. Oh, dear, everything is very amusing tonight. Oh, dear me, people are so charming. Yes, everything is just too, too lovely. Now, you know, I can hardly keep my feet on the ground. Oh, there goes my waiter with one of those delightful planter's punches. I must get the recipe from him. Roll out to the barrel.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Hooley's Grand Terrace Cafe and Pool Room takes great pleasure in presenting that great little tenor, Donna Novus, who starts off our floor show tonight singing Melancholy Mood.
Come on, Molly, let's sneak out. We can hear Novus on the radio at the office.
He will be followed by Snippy and Snappy with their excruciating songs and witty sayings and our beautiful line of dancers, the Gil Hooligans. Hiya, Joe, I'll see you out back in a minute. Donald Novus singing Melancholy Mood. Let's give him a great big hand, folks.
Melancholy mood forever haunts me, steals upon me in the night. Forever taunts me, oh, what a lonely soul am I, stranded high and dry by melancholy mood. Gone is every joy and inspiration, tears are all I have to show. No consolation, all I can see is grief and gloom, till the crack of doom, oh, melancholy mood. Deep in the night, I search for a trace of a lingering kiss, a warm embrace, but love is a flimsy as lace, and my arms embrace an empty space. Melancholy mood, why must you blind me, pity me, and break the chains that bind me, won't you release me, set me free, bring her back to me, oh, melancholy mood. Melancholy must you blind me, pity me, and break the chains? The chains that bind me, won't you release me, set me free? Bring her back to me, oh, melancholy mood. Melancholy
good to be back in a nice, cozy office again, ain't it, Molly?
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, Mr. McGee. That man with the whip is here again.
What? He is? Tell him I can't see him, sis.
Yes, sir.
Dad rat the dad ratted luck. That guy's going to be trailing me around like a busted garter.
Why do you get yourself in a mess like this, McGee?
Search me. I wonder how Walter Winchell handles these situations. Chuck, I'm just as smart as he is.
What?
What's he got that I haven't got? Oh, except that he can talk faster.
One other little thing, too, dearie. He can think faster. You know, it's a wonder to me, McGee, that you...
Uh-oh.
You suppose that's him, McGee?
I don't care if it is or not. Hand me that paper knife, Molly. I'm going to defend myself to the last drop. Come in.
Ah, there, Button Beezer. And good evening to you, my dear.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Boomer.
What you want, Boomer?
I have a juicy little tidbit for your column.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Came across it in a big house up on 14th Street, where I was a house guest for several minutes one night last week.
Juicy little tidbit, eh? Well, if it ain't too scandalous, we can use it, Boomer.
Let's see it, Mr. Boomer.
Certainly, certainly. I have it right here somewhere. Now, where did I put that juicy little tidbit? Tidbit? Tidbit. Where did I put that tidbit? Here's a snapshot of a friend of mine, a little Italian football player. Ah, yes, the good old Latin Quarter. A handful of precious stones presented to me unwittingly by a couple of girlfriends. Can't remember whether I got that opal from Ruby or that Ruby from Opal. Handful of loose bills, part of the gate receipts of a minstrel show. Yes, yes. Gentlemen, be cheated. Ta-da!
Come on, Boomer, come on, the tidbit.
The juicy little tidbit.
Ah, yes, the juicy little tidbit. Where can I put that tidbit? Here's a couple of bunion pads. Can always predict the weather by my bunions. Went to a preview last night and I had to get up and leave.
Preview what?
The rains came. Yeah, splendid picture. Has a great deal of power if you care for a Tyrone. Ah, what's this? Oh, yes, a bill from my hotel. Glad to pay it, too. Cleanest hotel I ever patronized. They've even changed the lock on my door four times. Let's see now. Here's a ticket to the dog show. There's one function I like to attend. Always go and hiss the police dogs. Yes. And here's an abdominal support. Nothing like it to help you keep a stiff upper lap. Some ant poison I bought for my uncle. And a check for a short beer. Well, well, imagine that. No juicy little tidbit. Some unprincipled character must have picked my pocket. The scoundrel.
Imagine that. Imagine anybody picking his pocket.
That's like a fly in the soup complaining about the customer.
Hey, Molly, take a peek out and see if the guy with the whip is still there.
Yep, he's still there.
What's he doing?
Swatting flies with the whip.
Hmm. Perfecting his aim, eh? Well, shucks. If I...
Well, here he is, McGee. What are you going to do?
Dad, rat it, I'll face him. That's what I'll do. I'll show him he can't imitate me.
You mean intimidate, dearie.
I'll show him what I mean. Come in!
Hi, mister.
Oh.
Hi.
Hey, little girl, don't ever do that again.
Do what?
Huh? Listen, little girl, it's much, much too late for you to be out. You belong home in bed.
I betcha I don't, I betcha. I betcha I belong right here.
Hmm. Well, why do you?
My father's a cricket.
Your father's a what?
A cricket.
Oh, he is, eh? It'd make just as much sense if I said my father was a grasshopper.
Well, more, I betcha.
Oh, is that so?
Hmm?
I says, is that so?
Sure.
Listen, sis, I'm in no mood for any fairy tales. I don't care if your father is a cricketer or a June bug. You'd better go on home.
Well, he is a cricket, I betcha. He's a movie cricket.
Oh, I get it. He's the movie critic for the paper.
Sure.
Oh.
What paper's your father a grasshopper on?
He ain't on the paper. I mean, he ain't a grasshopper.
Well, you said he was.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did.
We could go on like this all night, sis.
All right, but I bet you we'd get tired of it, I bet you.
Listen, sis, I ain't no mood for nonsense. I'm busy. I don't care if your father is a movie critic. He shouldn't let you wander around like this. Where's your father now?
He went to see Stanley and Livingston.
Oh, he did, eh? Mm-hmm. Do they work on this paper?
Oh, oh, sure. And they have lunch every day with the Wizard of Oz. Gee, you're a funny man.
Precocious kid. But just the same, if I ever meet this Stanley or Livingston, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind.
I think by the time you meet them, McGee, it won't matter much. Now, what are you going to do about the man with the horsewhip?
Oh, shucks, I don't know. Yes, I do, too. Dad, drat it, I'm going to have it out with him. I'm going to tell him to come in here, and if I start anything, he'll finish it.
What?
I mean, if I finishes anything, he'll start...
Shall I hold your glasses, dearie?
Oh, I'll keep them on. I got to see where I'm falling. Hey, Bud, you with the whip. I'm Fibber McGee. You waiting to see me?
I certainly am.
Wow.
Are you the columnist who wrote the article about the man about town making a play for a blonde hat-check girl?
Yes, he is, and he meant every word of it.
No, let me handle this, Molly. Well, what if I did, Bud? Chucks, can't you take a joke? After all, I... Hey, you keep away from me now. You leave me alone. Get between us, Molly, before I fly into a blind rage. Now, listen, Bud. Let's talk this thing over.
It's too late for that now.
Oh, now, look, Bud... Let's be reasonable.
Oh, slug him, dearie.
Well, I will if he cracks at me with that whip.
Oh, don't be like that. Look, that blonde hat-check girl and I were married 6 months ago.
Huh?
And I figured that anybody who's as far behind the times as you are ought to be driving a horse and buggy.
Huh?
Here, take the whip.
Oh, sure.
During the past week, it's been pretty warm in many parts of the country, and winter may seem a long way off. But before you know it, the weatherman will be saying wind, rain, snow. Bad days for automobile finishes. But think how lucky you motorists are this year. Think how easy it will be to clean and wax polish your car for winter with Car New, the revolutionary new product just perfected in the famous Johnson's Wax Laboratories. If I could only show you on my own car how amazingly easy it is to use Car New, you'd have some in the next 24 hours. In the old days, in order to clean and wax your car, you had to use a cleaner first, then a wax. Two operations. But now it's all done in one single operation with Johnson's Car New. You put it on, it dries to a powder, you wipe it off. And there stands that beautiful finish you'd almost forgotten, wax protected. Whether your car is 5 years old or 5 days old, you should wax polish it with Car New. Dust and dirt and weather stains will wipe off easily. And for a long time, your car will be something to be proud of. Stop by and get a can of Johnson's Car New tomorrow, wherever auto supplies are sold or from your regular wax dealer. It's inexpensive, and when you've used it, you'll say with thousands of other car owners, your car looks like new when you use Car New.
And this, Mr. and Mrs. America, with apologies to Walter Winchell, brings to a close another edition of the Johnson Journal. We remain your Wistful Vista correspondents, Fibber McGee and Molly, who think...
Believe it or not.
Who think that the best Pat and Mike story in America these days is to say over this mic, let's stand pat. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, Racine, Wisconsin, reminding you that if the community in which you live does not observe daylight saving time, Fibber McGee and Molly will come to you 1 hour later, beginning next Tuesday. Please see your local newspaper for time and station. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.